All right, we're back in the book of Proverbs tonight, and we're talking about relationships. And we are actually in our, I think, our eighth lesson on relationships. And so we might, I'm not going to promise, but we might finish it tonight, okay? Because I think you're all getting it. We've talked about basically the fact that life is made up of relationships. We all have relationships. We all have interpersonal relationships that are just a part of who we are on a daily basis, whether it's close ones, such as family, or it's ones we choose, such as friends, or it's ones that we don't choose, such as people we work with and things of that nature, people we come into contact with. Some people are a blessing to be around. How many of you know somebody like you just like being around them? You're encouraged, just their personality is such. Okay, now, put the right hand down, keep the left hand ready. How many of you know others that they're not like that? You're around them, it's like they suck the energy out of you, all right? And so, there's a few of you in the building that are kind of like that, maybe that section right there. But the thing is, we have to deal with it. And so, it's good if we understand some of the things the Bible tells us about that. And as we mentioned on many occasions, a lot of times breaches in relationships are basically due to maybe violations of biblical principles and things of that nature. So last week we looked at, I believe, number 14 through 16. We said number 14, when you see a potential argument is coming, do all you can to avoid it. Number 15, don't allow yourself to be sucked into an argument by someone who desires to start one. Number 16, the wife has a great deal of power as to the spirit and temperature of the home and marriage. I think we got stuck on that one a little bit. And guys, you do too, but. All right, number 17. I'm sure if Solomon would have had time, he would have wrote Proverbs 32 on the virtuous man, trying to get the guys in order, but he didn't want to convict himself or us. All right, number 17. Be open to the advice and rebuke of people who are close to you. Be open. Now, before I say this, let me have a disclaimer here, okay? I'm not saying that to give you the right to get up in somebody's business if it's none of your business, okay? But sometimes, by the way, some people think that that is their ministry. What's my ministry? My ministry is to keep you straight, okay? Well, whose ministry is it to keep you straight? Now, having said that, if you are close to someone, there are times when, in a loving way, you need to step up and help them if you see they're going to do something to hurt themselves. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Okay? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That is someone who's giving you advice, talking about a situation in your life, and someone, it comes from someone who is close to you. It compares it to someone who really isn't your friend, who would basically endorse or condone what you're doing. The kisses of an enemy. Like, yeah, just, you know, it's just, you know, yeah, keep going your way. If we had an option, which would you prefer if you look at the words here? A wound, okay? Wounds are unpleasant, okay? A cut, our little kids, an owie, a boo-boo, all right? Those type of things. They're painful. Or a kiss. By the way, you teenagers, I'm not talking about you, okay? I know which one you'd prefer. You know, a kiss, it's you know, that's a sign of closeness, affection, all that type of thing. It's pleasant, it's kind most of the time. This verse tells us of a wound that is better than a kiss. Right. I think these are in your notes. There isn't a difference in where it comes from. The little bolt, the little blank there. The wound is from a friend. A friend has your best interest at heart, not just their own. That's the real sign of a true friend. A true friend doesn't have their own interest at heart. They are willing to put your interest to the forefront. And sometimes it's easy when you're just helping in a non-threatening type of way. But if it has to be an unpleasant, point out of something, then that is different. The kiss is from an enemy. An enemy doesn't have your best interests at heart. They just don't care. Okay? So there's a difference in where it comes from. The wound that is mentioned here comes from a friend, someone who has your best interests at heart. The kiss comes from an enemy, someone that doesn't have your best interests at heart. There is also, I believe it's on your paper, there is a difference in why it came. Why it came. The wound is faithful. You know, what we're looking for in friends are faithful. Is faithfulness. Right? A friend that's not with you from the beginning to the end is not a faithful friend. They're not really a friend at all. So they're wounding you because they are being faithful. They are trying to be helpful. And in some cases, only a friend who knows you well can tell you some things that maybe someone who's not as close to you would not get away with saying. And that's very important. The kiss is deceitful. Think of it this way. It's masking something that could be hurtful. The kiss is just kind of putting a band-aid over something and condoning it, and it's keeping and it's not keeping you from that which could ultimately hurt you. You know, if you have surgery, it can be painful. Now, what is the purpose of the doctor? I always wanted to see if this knife could get through. Okay, you know? Remember when I was in eighth grade, they made us watch heart surgery. That was exciting. That's back before the days when, you know, now, I mean, heart surgery is heart surgery, don't get me wrong, but now it's not as invasive. And I just remember that. It's like, you know, our teacher wasn't real nice. It's like, you're going to watch it or you're not going to get a grade. And they took a knife, rip, and it didn't go through the first time. Rip. Then they had to pull then they got the thing and they're like ripping they're pulling the ribs apart so they could get to the heart. And I'm thinking, that's a blessing. I want to watch that garbage. But what was the purpose? It got bad from there. What was the purpose of the doctor to help? Yes, it's painful. But in the end, it is going to be helpful. That's not the goal is not to just inflict pain for the purpose of inflicting pain, okay? That's just crazy. It's to be helpful. But the kisses of a friend, they're just going to keep going in your way. Everything's good. Not seeing that a train wreck is coming. I think this little statement's on your paper. It's better for a friend to take a chance on wounding us by telling us the truth than someone who we think is our friend who will encourage us to continue down the path. I don't say it as much anymore because it's sarcastic, but I used to say it. You know, people would come and they'd tell you about a situation and they're kind of halfway asking for your counsel or advice. And I used to say, well, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear something nice and flowery, or you want me to tell you the truth? They're not willing to tell the truth, then I'm not going to waste my time. Let's go get coffee, okay? But sometimes we have to get to that point. And someone close to us, they can see when we're struggling with something. They can see when maybe something is bothering us, and they can be a help. And that's really something we should accept. They have a right motive for helping you. Look at Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Okay? You know, we were in the book of Ruth, and she told Ruth, you know, hey, take a shower, you know, get cleaned up, put the best clothes on, and anoint yourself. If she's going to present herself, it was important that, you know, you're around a lady, and it's like, oh, wow. Not, well, you shouldn't be around, but, you know, you're like, you smell nice. You go out, you know, and a date night or whatever, it's like, you're going to clean up, and you're going to, because that's like, it's pleasant. And say, that's what we say. It says, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's sweet. It's helpful. Love always wants what's best for someone. But that doesn't mean we indulge bad habits or sinful behaviors. And, you know, that's where our world has really gone wrong. We have. You know, what was it? Last year on the Lakers, the one kid, Russell, he posted something about one of the other players, one of my favorite players, Nick Young, that he was cheating on his fiance. Who got hammered? Yeah, he got hammered. All the teammates were, I'm not talking to him, he's a snitch. The guy's cheating on his fiance. I mean, come on. Someone should have stood up and say, Doc. But in our society, that's just normal, and just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, shock, they didn't get married. Broke my heart. But we think that we're being a friend by allowing, by helping someone to continue in a bad situation. When a friend at some point should stand up and say, look, that's not best for you. No one's going to tell you, I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you it's not best for you. Very important. If the person who is close to them and loves them can't help them, who really can? Charles Spurgeon said this, give me for a friend a man that will speak honestly of me before my face, who will not tell first one neighbor and then another, but who will come straight to my house and say, I feel that there is wrong in you, my brother. That I must tell you of, that man is a true friend. True friend. And so that's the kind of friend we had, we need. This whole thing is, you know, like, I'm just going to, and again, I know I'm walking a fine line here, you know, I'm just going to support you no matter what you do. Now, if someone's already done something and they need help on the other side, but if they're doing something wrong, if they're maybe making a decision in life, you know, that can hurt them, why can't you just say as a friend, you need to consider this? You know, as a Christian, you need to understand this. That's a true friend. I would rather do that and maybe be misunderstood or maybe even, you know, whatever, than not to say anything and look back at the latter end and say, what if I would have just said something? What if I would have just helped them? The Bible has many examples of those who stood up to their friends, right? What about Nathan standing up to David after his sin with Bathsheba? David, I have a story to tell you. Oh, you know, blah, 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 and he took his only lamb and all this, and David's like, that's horrible. David's like, or Nathan's like, talking about you. I'm talking about you. What about, there's many, what about Joab? Of all people, Joab. Joab had his issues. But even when David was gonna count the people, Joab had enough common sense to say, hey, David, you know, I hope God multiplies you many, many more times, but this is not God's plan. He took to saying it. And you can go on again and again and again. Number 18. This will help you. Not that the others wouldn't. Number 18, be sensitive to people's emotions and times of life. Be sensitive to people's emotions and times of life. Now, as we get through this, we're going to find out all of us have violated this at one point or another. And because we have, all of us have paid for it one time or another. Here we go. Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. No one wants to be woke up early in the morning with someone yelling, brother! How many of you like that? That's when you like, sorry, reflex. Okay. Now, is there anything wrong with blessing your brother? Is there anything wrong with blessing your brother with a loud voice? No. The bad part's in the morning. In the morning, it's like, listen, you don't wake up, you're resurrected. We talk about Easter Sunday, but every morning when your alarm clock goes off, it's Easter Monday and it's Easter Tuesday. Okay? Listen, it's like, you know, I don't. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, I don't jump up and say, yeah. No. I'm like, sledgehammer, are you sure? You ever wake up and like, are you sure it's time already? It seems like we just laid down here. But it's the timing is wrong. People aren't ready for that early in the morning. In this verse, the problem with the conflicts in relationships is not what has been said. No one gets mad. Bless you, my brother. How dare you? I don't want your blessing. It's not what has been said, but these two things. First of all, I think you probably have a blank there. How it is said? With a loud voice. Sometimes how we say things is just wrong. You can say the right thing the wrong way, and you're going to elicit a wrong response. And by the way, I have learned, you know, some people, you could go up to them, and they're more excitable. Brother, how's everything going? Great. Other people, they're not like that. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a lady, you probably remember, the lady in Monterey Park, and I don't know what, we were trying to sign her up for something. Hey, you going to come soul winning? She goes, don't talk so loud to me. I'm like, okay. She wasn't being rude or mean. That I realized it was her personality. That's just her personality. So every time I went up to her, I said, hey, you going to sign up? You think you can sign up? You know, I didn't want to be chewed out anymore. So it's how we say things. Sometimes the way we say things, even something someone would take, because we say it in the wrong way or at the wrong time, it just puts their guard up. So be very, very careful. You know, some people yell about everything, right? If your child rearing skills are just to yell about everything, do you know the kid tunes you out? Okay? You raise your voice with everything. Your husband tunes you out. Your wife tunes you out. She ain't gonna listen anyhow. But there ought to be things where it's like, listen, this is a big one. You know? Okay? If you didn't take the trash out, that's not a big one. But if you do something, I stab the neighbor. That depends on which one. That's a big one. It's like, hey, why are you getting all upset over that? The kids need to know that's not a small thing. So it's how we use our voices, how we say it, you know. Look, if children spill the milk, you don't blow up. It was an accident. Now, don't give them any more milk. They were irresponsible. So you didn't listen, you know. Sorry about that. But if, you know, they just, so be careful. And then also the next point is when it's said, in the morning. Be careful. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, you go to bed. Maybe I'm a little tired or like, I'm going to go to bed. You know, we try to go about to bed about the same time. And so sometimes I'm a little tired. I'm going to go to bed first. And then, so I'll go to bed a little bit before my wife and I'll fall asleep. And then she comes in and she gets in bed, you know, and turn on the light and whatever. And she's getting finalized and she's getting in bed. And, oh, honey, I'm like, sister, I don't talk. Okay, do you understand that I was just unconscious? Now is not the time to talk. Oh, yeah, no, I don't want to hear it. Okay, I was asleep. Turn the light off. Let me sleep. Email me in the morning. Everything will be good. Okay, if you wanted to talk, then you should have came to bed with me. All right, you know, people don't want to, it's like, well, is it? Am I being a bad guy for not wanting to talk to my wife? No. Now, if we go to bed together and she goes, hi, how are you doing? It's like, get out of here. Okay, now that's probably a problem. But it's wrong, you know, I've been sleeping. And so now you know my sin. But it's the timing of it, okay? When it is said. Let me give you a few thoughts here. Next, let me give you a few thoughts. First, I think they're there. Don't discuss, and this is being a little more practical in situations. Don't discuss a situation when either one is tired. That is a, you've done it, haven't you? Yeah. Would you like to give a personal testimony? No? Okay, let's take it. I've told you before, listen, for years we go on vacation. We go up to visit my in-laws up on their farm. Now, we go up there, we stay whatever amount of time. When we're coming home, we're coming, it's time to come home. We're driving straight through. I mean, straight through. Now, if it was me in the car by myself, I could probably do it in 17 hours, 16 and a half hours. And by the way, I do the majority of the driving. My wife only gets to drive if I'm swerving and I'm going to kill us. Then it's like, you can take 3 hours and then I'll get back on the road. And by the way, 3 hours sleeping in a car is like that's actually, it makes it worse. You wake up and you feel like someone dropped an atom bomb on you. And so, listen, I'll just be honest with you. We had to stop doing that. You know, I'm getting a little older. Before I could do it, you know, I was like, I'll do it. But listen, about 11 hours into the trip, I'm not even saved anymore. Okay, let's talk about the Bible. I don't like the Bible. I don't want to hear it. Just you know, it's not good. It's like, oh, you're a pastor. Not when I'm in the car after 20 hours. I'm a Mormon and a Muslim mixed in one. So you don't even want to be in that car. And by the way, before you look at me with your sanctified face, so would you be. It's just, that's just the wrong time. It's like, you know, just, I try to sleep, my poor wife, and I'm surprised she's still with me. You know, and I'm half asleep. I'm like, hey, don't swerve, slow down. My eyes aren't even open. I don't even know what she's doing. But that's just, you know, it's the wrong time. So if you're someone's tired, it's not going to be a winning situation. Sometimes you get irritated with each other, and it's like, you know what you need to do? Here we go. Go to bed. Deal with it tomorrow. Okay? Just get some rest. You'll feel so much better, and you can actually look at things clearly. If someone's tired, give them a break. And one person's like, no, I want to discuss this right now. But if they are dog tired, that's why your husband comes home from work, don't dump on him as soon as he walks in the door. You know what your children did? Well, how come they were your children when they got straight A's and now they got suspended? They're my children. Okay? You just dump on them. It's like, can I sit down? Can you put a bowl of soup or something in front of my face? Let me eat. And then I'm happy now. Let's talk about this. But be very careful. Sometimes people aren't bad people. It's just, and you say, well, you're making an excuse for them. I get it. And don't, you can't be tired. I'm tired 24 hours a day. Snap out of that, all right? But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just, you know, that famous Bible verse by Vince Lombardi, fatigue makes cowards of us all. What he is saying is, when we're tired, we're just not ourselves. Next, don't discuss a situation when either one is emotional. Okay? Now, don't always be emotional. And sometimes you weren't emotional when the discussion started, and you got a little emotional. You need to learn how to work through that. But sometimes there are things in life that you're just, and I'm going to be real sensitive here. I'm going to skirt this. Sometimes there are times of life some people are maybe more emotional, okay? That's not the time to discuss, mortgage in the future on some new business adventure, okay? That's not the time to deal with it. Just wait till the emotions. It's not going to be forever, okay? But you want to be in a good place. You're fresh, you're not emotional, you're not tired, you've had a good cup of coffee, now you're ready to discuss things, and your mind is clear. Sometimes our mind is not clear. For some of you, your mind has never been clear, all right? Personal testimony again? You're good tonight. Thank you, Raul. All right, number three, or not whatever it is. It's just a dot or square, whatever it is. Don't discuss a situation in front of others. Now, this isn't my first rodeo, okay? Sometimes individuals, friends, or spouses will start discussing something in front of others because they think if they discuss it in front of others, it'll help them to get their way because the other one's not going to open up as much or be very careful. Don't do that, okay? It's like if you have to, like, go in the room. Lock yourself in. What do I got to do? But don't, when other people are involved, you can't be yourself, and you can't, and it's not the time. I want to talk about it right now. How many, have you ever been out somewhere, and you've seen a couple like arguing in public, in their car? That, you always look in the cars when you're driving. You know, you're driving the car, and you just, hands are going all over the place, and then, by the way, I watch it, then you pull in the church, and as soon as we pull in the church, hands go down. Brother! God is good! Was he good when you were on Wardlow? Oh, okay. We're all human. Pray for us. But just not in front of others, okay? If that's, it's not the way to wedge your situation. Next, don't discuss a situation if one person asks not to do it right then. Now, I'm going to give a caveat there so we don't understand it. Why? Because they might be emotional, and they might. Now, there are sometimes a situation comes up and it has to be dealt with right then, whether you like it or not. But I'm just talking about argument. So if one person, you know, can we save this till the morning? Can we save this for after dinner? Can we save this till this time? What they're saying is they're tired or they're emotional. Give it a little bit of time, and it'll be better. Okay? And respect that. Now, if every time somebody brings something up, you say, let's discuss it another time, okay, quit pulling that out. You're abusing it, and it's like the boy who cried wolf. Eventually, the wolf showed up, and no one believed him. But so be honest with each other about it, and respect that, and things will do better. Because if someone is constantly doing that, eventually they're going to say, well, I'm bringing it up whether you like it or not. And again, we're not in a good frame of mind. We want to be able to discuss disagreements in situations when we're at our best. Okay? Because when you're at your best, you're going to be clearer and you'll be a little more long-suffering. And that should help you. And then, okay, next. Don't discuss a situation, and this is kind of the same thing, when the relationship is already on edge. In other words, you know, you've just had a disagreement about something else and emotions are still raw. And it's like, well, since we're at it, let's bring this up. Like, you just got through that. I got 10 things we need to deal with. Okay, you can't even get through the first one. Just be calm. What is that, the shirts? Stay calm and then a million other things. All right, number 19. Be careful. Be careful about being quick to start a conflict. Be careful about being quick to start a conflict. Proverbs 25:8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. I mean, this person is, there's something, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready for this fight. I want it. I'm getting into it before I've even thought it through. By the way, a lot of times when we think things through, we would be just a little clearer, okay? Say, how do I know that? Because there are times I have not thought things through, and I have not been clearer. These next three verses are going to go together. We're not going to go through them. We tend to live with a need for speed, right, and haste in everything in life. It amazes me how, and I'm probably part of the problem, but on the freeway, everybody's in a hurry. You know, you're driving on the freeway, and there's people, they'll drive around you in the restricted area just because, I'm sorry, oh, you're the only person on the freeway that has to get home, okay? You're the only one who's hungry, wants dinner. Come on. We're always in a hurry. Fast food, you know, it's never fast enough. It's like, man, I've been here for 4 minutes. What if you made it yourself? How long would it take? We just live in that, gotta get going. Everything's fast. And so we bring that into our relationships. We bring that to how we deal with problems. We take that mentality. And so if we do that, something small mushrooms into something big and out of control because we went barreling into it and we didn't think about it and we took something that could have been small and we just blew it up. Look at James here. This admonition would help us. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. That's what we ought to be fast to. Okay? Now, we don't know how to communicate, because what we want to do is we want them to be swift to talk so we can get done and tell them what we want to say. And we didn't hear anything they said. And I don't even think I understood what I just said there. But be swift to hear, slow to speak. That doesn't mean you talk like you're from North Carolina. How y'all doing over there? Slow to speak. It means don't be the first to throw stuff out there. And that is so hard. I don't like this verse. Slow to wrath. You know what we are? We are slow to hear, quick to speed, quick to wrath. And here's why. Look what it says, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There is nothing good in it. Righteousness doesn't come from anger. Now, let me give you some thoughts about being quick, a couple thoughts about being quick into problems, and we'll be done. First thing, don't rush into a conflict because your emotions tell you to. Don't rush into a conflict because your emotions are telling you to. He said, go not forth hastily to strive. You know, your emotions tell you one thing. And that's why we got to try to master these things and understand this isn't the time. This isn't the time. And in the heat of the, they call it, you know what they call it? They call it the heat of the moment. And if you're not careful in the heat of the moment, you don't realize what you're upset about is dumb. Years ago, we had a bunch of the Cambodian guys. And so many years ago, so pastor wanted us to be in a men's basketball league. So we actually played in the school around the corner from Stephen Lawrence's house over by the place we don't shop anymore, Target. And it was a Saturday morning league, and we had two teams. And it was a 6 foot and under league. It's kind of cool, you know. Now, I was kind of concerned. I'm sitting there in one of the games. You could have one guy that was over 6 foot. Now, I'm about 5'11 and a half. I'm almost 6 foot. So we're sitting there for the jump ball, and four of the guys in their team were taller than me. Really taller than me. And I'm like, well, I'm 6 foot. You can have one guy over 6 foot. And I asked the ref, I said, have you ever noticed these guys? There's like four of them. He goes, oh, well. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. But, you know, so we're playing, and I'm underneath the basket. And these were working class guys. You know, we're having a good time. And we're under the basket. Me and this other guy, we're just pushing for the rebound. And we really started pushing each other. And we really started pushing each other. And it was a really close game. And it's like, it was getting a little intense. And I remember we were pushing, and he's pushing back. Like, I'm not giving you an inch. You're not giving me an inch. And we're going back and forth. And I'll never forget. We just looked at each other like, this is stupid. This is just a rec league game. And we just kind of smiled at each other and like, you know, let it go. It was no big deal. We actually thought it through. Like, we're just playing a game on Saturday. Come on, this guy's probably an engineer. But that's how we are sometimes. We're so quick to it, we can't stop and logically think through what we're doing. Be very careful. Our emotions always tell us, no, stand your ground. Do this. It's like, calm down. Don't let your emotions take over. There's consequences. Proverbs 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of the milk bringeth forth butter, right? You turn it. Eventually it gets thicker. And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. You know what that is? You take someone's nose and... I heard a story. I think it was Joe Boyd, the famous evangelist many years ago. And some atheist came up and was just... And this Joe Boyd was a former football player. And this atheist was just getting in his face. Just show me one verse in the Bible that's true. And he quoted this verse and he reached over and grabbed the guy's nose and gave him a bloody nose. Said, see? Sure. So that's... I don't think that's what he was looking for. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Forcing it. Putting it in place when it's not the time and it's not really the best thing to do at that time. Next, it is easier to get it started than to actually end it, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. It's like, man, you got in this conference. We're going to have this conference. We're doing this. And then 15 minutes, it's like, is there an off-ramp somewhere? It's harder to end. Once it gets going, you can't just say, okay, time out. No, everything's involved in emotions and everything. And so it can be very, very difficult. Disputes are very easy to start. Trust me, I've started my share. And they're very hard to finish. Nobody wants to, once you get in it and your emotions are in it, then you're like, I'm going to win this one. okay? We both lose. And then the last thing is this, and we're done. When you are emotionally charged to start a conflict, you are usually going to lose it. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Okay, why? Because they saw you really had nothing, you had nothing to fight about in the first place. Sometimes in our emotions, we get into something and then we get backed into a corner, but our emotions say don't give in. Even though we ought to just say, wave the white flag and say, I lost this one, okay, I was wrong. We don't do that because our emotions are involved and we've been quick to start that right there.